Because we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and today we're going to be talking about mercy. I believe I have a slide up there when you can. Yeah, there we go. Pastor Jim, you know, I stole his, well, he gave it to me, but I stole his template there. So we're talking about kindness. And there was a song I learned at camp. Tara and I worked at a camp called Camp Homewood the summer actually before I started working here with you. We spent a whole summer there in 2012. And, you know, we were campus pastors. It was sort of a good kind of training for me. It was my first kind of pastoring experience, kind of being thrown in the deep end there with all the staff. They would have staff that would come and work for the entire summer, and we were working with them, young adults and teenagers, that type of thing. And of course, you go to all these different camp events and the firesides. They would do children's ministry, so kids from age, like, you know, 8 to 10 would come to a camp, all boys or all girls, that kind of thing. And they would do all these songs. This camp was on a place called Quadra Island. Maybe some of you are familiar with Northern Vancouver Island. It's about a 10-minute ferry ride from Campbell River, and they have a gorgeous property right on the ocean on a place called Gowland Harbor. But they also have another property on a chain of lakes in the middle of the island. It's so nice. They're fresh water. You can canoe and kayak and swim and all that kind of thing. And one day, when I was working there, we took a group of junior boys, so 8 to 10-year-old boys, and there's, you know, a bunch of staff, and we got in the canoes, and we all canoed down through one lake, through a passage to another lake called Village Bay Lake. And then we'd park our canoes, and we would hike, about a 20-minute hike, across sort of this piece of land to the ocean, to Village Bay. On Quadra Island. Now, I looked for pictures of Village Bay, and there weren't any, I'm sorry, but just imagine a beautiful ocean bay. You have some of them here, you know, we have them in Richmond as well. And so what would happen is, you know, we'd make them hike, and of course, junior boys that age, I'm tired, this is so hard, and you're like, you've been walking for 5 minutes, it's going to be worth it, you know. But we walked down this hike, and it follows this creek, because the creek runs down from the lake out towards the ocean. And when we got to the other side, the ocean side, we discovered that there was actually this really beautiful spot there. There was a swimming hole. And maybe some of you, you know, you've grown up in these areas where there's been, you know, a creek or a river, but then it kind of empties out into a pool, kind of a round circular pool. Just the way the rocks and things were formed by the water, there was this round circular freshwater pool. And it was a good size. We could fit 7 or 8 of us in there comfortably, swimming around, really nice and cool water. It was a hot day. And then from there, the water flowed out into the ocean. It was a beautiful place, and I really love that. It's one of my favorite places, that camp, and that particular hike, because you get, you know, you're hot and you're sweaty from the hike, and then you get there, and there's this lovely freshwater swimming pool, and there's nothing like swimming in fresh water. I love the ocean, don't get me wrong. I've told Tara many times I would like to live underneath it, but a freshwater swimming pool, you know, a swimming hole like that is so nice. And I tell you that story not just because I want to reminisce about camp, although that is fun, because we talked last week about reflecting God's character. Pastor Jim talked about patience, and he talked about how we reflect God's character, like the moon, right, reflects the light of the sun. We reflect God's character. And I think that's a really powerful metaphor to understand how the fruits of the Spirit are at work in our lives, because it really is about God's character. When you look at the fruits of the Spirit, this is God's character being formed in us, that we begin to reflect the character of God. When we follow Jesus, we begin to look like him. One of my favorite passages in Scripture is Romans 8, 28-29. It talks about that God works all things together for good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And verse 29 says, to be conformed to the likeness or to the image of his son. That's what God has called us to, is to look like him, to look like Jesus. And so we reflect God's character. But what I want to present to you today is another metaphor, not to replace that one, but to maybe give a fuller picture. It's always good to have more than one way of thinking about something, especially when it comes to something like the fruits of the Spirit. This is such a powerful and important aspect of our faith. And so I want to suggest to you that the swimming hole that I've just talked about gives us another picture of what living out the fruits of the Spirit are like. Because what I believe is that God pours his Spirit into us, right? So the fresh water is coming down, and the Spirit of God is filling us
We're the pool. You are a lovely freshwater swimming pool. That's a compliment, not an insult, okay? You're a lovely pool, and God's Spirit, the character of God, is flowing into you. And then as you go through your life, as you walk day to day, you allow that fresh water, the Spirit of God, the character of God, the fruits of the Spirit to flow out of you. And as that water flows into us, it begins to shape us. Over the years, as water flows into a pool like that, it begins to shape the rocks around it. It begins to cut away at the sharp edges and all those types of things. And that's what God is at work in our lives, forming our character, cutting away those sharp edges in our lives. But it also flows out of us to others. And I love this idea because it flows out to the ocean. It flows out to salt water, right? Fresh water is so nice, and you can swim in it, and you can drink and all the things. But salt water, I mean, you can swim in salt water, but it's not good to drink, right? There's something kind of, it's salty. Something salty about it. And I think that's such a good picture of we can be a fresh stream into kind of a salt water world, right? We can be a fresh stream of water into this salty environment where God places us. And I think this is true for all the fruits of the Spirit, but I really want to focus, of course, today on God's kindness. God's kindness, because God has poured out his kindness to us, and he calls us to pour out kindness to others. And so that's what we're going to focus on. We're going to look at God's character, how is God kind towards us, and then we'll look at our character. How does that shape our character, our kindness towards others? I'm really excited to look at this, and I want to share with you, there's a lot of languages that are spoken here. I'm always so impressed. I only know English and a little bit of French, but I also have learned a little bit of Greek. Now, I don't think anybody speaks this Greek, biblical Greek here, because it is a dead language, but you can still study it, and you can learn it in Scripture, and so are you ready to learn a Greek word today? Is that cool? I always do this. I make my youth learn Greek, and they're like, you're such a nerd, Pastor Dan, and I say, well, I am what I am. So here we go. Kindness, the word kindness that is used in Galatians is a word called krestates. Can you say that with me? Krestates. It's a Greek word, it kind of suggests displaying goodness towards someone, or benevolence, friendliness, care towards someone, or the quality of being helpful or beneficial to someone else, expressing those qualities. The Oxford Dictionary talks about the quality of being friendly, generous, or considerate. That's kind of what kindness is. And I think most of us have a reference point for kindness, but I thought I'd still share some of those definitions because we've all heard of random acts of kindness. Maybe you've done some of those things. We've all experienced kindness. Hopefully we've all been kind and make a good effort to be kind. But those are some of the dictionary definitions of kindness in this Greek word, krestates. And in the New Testament, it's interesting because this word, it's only used about 8 times in the New Testament, but it's used equally to speak of God and his kindness, and to speak of our kindness, the kindness that God calls us to show towards others. So I want to look at 3 passages in the New Testament that talk about God's kindness towards us. Now, I hope in your life that you have had someone be kind to you. I hope you continue to have someone being kind to you, because it's such an important thing in our lives. We need that in our lives. And I want to share you a story of someone being kind to me when I was in need, because maybe you've had that happen. You were in need and someone gave you what you needed, whether that was finances or food or clothing, that type of thing, or maybe you just were in need of encouraging word and someone has given that to you. I remember when I was in grade two, little Danny Donkers was in grade two, little freckle-faced kid. I was kind of a space cadet. Like, and if you don't know what that means, it just means that I would kind of daydream a lot. I still do this actually, but if I saw like anthills, the rest of my class would be playing soccer and I'd be like, ooh, and I would just kind of stare and maybe spit in the anthill because boys do that, you know, that kind of thing. But we went on a trip to the zoo, and we had these different groups of students. You know, you're familiar with this. Maybe some of you have kids. You've chaperoned field trips, right? So we were split into different groups, and we had about 7 or 8 kids in my group, and then we had a dad. One of the dads of the kids was our chaperone, our leader. And somewhere throughout the day, because we all brought a lunch, and my mom was very good. She packed me a lovely lunch. But somewhere throughout the day, fairly early on, I drank my juice box, you know, because I had a little juice box. I think it was apple juice. I love apple juice. Drank my juice box. And so when it came time for lunch, this was in Toronto. It was a hot, humid day. And when it came time for lunch, I didn't have a drink. And so I was sitting there kind of eating, but I was like, oh, man, I'm so thirsty. You know, and being a child, I was probably whining more than I thought, being thirsty. And this dad, he was so nice. When I think back now, it wasn't actually the most helpful thing because he shared me his Mountain Dew, which, like, pop isn't, like, it doesn't really quench your thirst. But that's okay. I was a kid. It was great. He gave me his pop. And it was so kind of him to share that with me, that he gave me his drink, even though he really didn't have to. I was talking to Tara about that today, and she was joking about whether she would have or not. And I think you would. But, you know, this guy was very kind. He was very kind to me, and he shared this drink. I have to tell you the end of the story. Unfortunately, later on that day, because I was so daydreamy and stuff, I got lost, and he got in trouble. So I didn't repay his kindness very nicely. I was staring at the polar bears. They were so interesting, and the group moved on. But he was still a very kind man. I appreciate that. There's probably a lesson in there, but we have to move on. But I appreciate his kindness, and to the point that I still remember it, right? Of course, this story that somebody did something. He went out of his way to share with me something that I was in need of. And, you know, God in the Old Testament, we're not going to look at any Old Testament passages, but God is portrayed as loving and kind. And some of you, perhaps, I know Pastor Joseph has shared this word, chesed. It's a Hebrew word that means, kind of literally translated in English, loving kindness. And that word, loving kindness, is often used about God in the Old Testament. That is a key characteristic of who he is, loving and kind. If you read the Psalms, and sometimes it's translated as kindness, sometimes as love, but that word comes up quite a bit. King David talks about how God has been loving and kind towards him, has saved him from his enemies, has looked after him in his need. God has been kind. And so we want to look at these passages in the New Testament because I think the decisive demonstration of God's kindness is Jesus Christ. That in Jesus, God decisively showed his kindness to us through salvation. And all three of these passages talk about and they link God's kindness to his sacrifice and his grace in Jesus Christ. So the first one is Ephesians 2, 4 to 9. I'm an old-fashioned guy. I don't have my iPad here. I just have a Bible, so I'll flip to there, and you can flip with me, but we have it up on the screen as well. And we'll just read this passage. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, and mercy, God's mercy is often tied to his kindness as well, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So in this passage, God expresses his kindness to us in Christ Jesus, by sending Jesus. And really what that is God has known all along, of course, but he has seen our need for salvation. We can't do that on our own. We can't save ourselves. We can't, earn God's forgiveness. And so in his kindness, he reached out and sent his son, Jesus Christ, because we were helpless. We were in need. And so God showed his kindness and his grace, again, that we couldn't earn that. Next one is Titus 3. Titus is kind of tucked away in the back here after 2 Timothy. Titus 3, verse 3 to 7. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. So again, we see here that it's God's grace. It's nothing that we've been able to earn. We were so helpless to save ourselves from our sin. Our sin had separated us from God, and there was nothing that we could do to make that right. We deserved condemnation. And yet Jesus Christ came to take that punishment for us and rose again in power. So God has acted on our behalf before we could do anything, and there was no way we could do anything to earn it. That's God's kindness being expressed to us. The last one I want to talk about here is Romans 2, verse 4. Now, this is in the middle of Paul's argument about how all humans are under sin and that type of thing. And so it seems a little harsh, but I want to focus on that last part. So he's talking about, you know, if we pass judgment on others, we're no better than them, and we are all under sin. And he says, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience? We talked about forbearance as well. Not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. It's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. I don't know if some of you remember, there was a great song out probably in the 90s, back in the heyday when I was a teenager, and it talked about that. It was the song, you know, your kindness, Lord, leads us to repentance. Your faithfulness is our desire. And it kind of was touching on this verse. The point here is that it's God's kindness that draws us to a place where we receive his love, where we repent of our sins. We ask for his forgiveness. We turn away. It's God's kindness, his Christotes, that leads us to that place. And you know, that's funny because often when we want others around us to change, kindness, it might be part of the mix, but it's not necessarily our go-to. It's hard sometimes to try to use kindness. We sometimes have really in-your-face ways of letting people know that something needs to change, right? Husbands, wives, right? We have this, right? Sometimes we can nag each other. We can get after each other. And we forget that maybe it's kindness that leads to repentance. It's kindness that leads us to want to change. And that doesn't mean we don't, teach our kids right from wrong or speak of our needs in marriage and that type of thing. But it does mean that it's kindness, not condemnation, that brings real change. It's God's kindness to us that brings real change, and I believe that it's our kindness to others that brings real change. And as believers, God pours his kindness out into our lives. And it's not just a one-time thing. We receive Jesus Christ, thanks for being kind to us, God, and now we're on our way. It's a daily thing. God is pouring out his kindness on us. God shows his kindness to the whole world in giving us sunshine and beautiful days and giving us rain on our crops. He is a kind God, and yet he also shows his kindness to us as believers in so many ways by pouring out his love, by caring for our needs, by strengthening us in temptation. All these different ways that God shows his kindness to us. And because of that, we are empowered, I believe, to show kindness to others. And this is how we don't only reflect God's character, but we also allow it to flow through us. We allow the character of God, his kindness, to flow through us. So what does it look like? What does it look like to show kindness to people? And now I don't have it up on the screen, but I think the story of the Good Samaritan is a great example. I hope most of you are familiar with that. I'll just run through it quickly. Jesus told this parable. Someone came to him and said, Jesus, who's my neighbor? And Jesus said, well, you know, there was this guy, and he was going down to this city, and he was beaten up, he was robbed, he was left for dead on the side of the road. And then this Levite, this religious person walked by and saw him in need, but walked to the other side. And then a priest walked by, another religious person. You know, you have kind of like a teacher and a pastor walked by and saw him on the side of the road and walked by. And yet the Samaritan, this hated person, the race that the Jews hated, came and helped him. And the kind of help that he gave, I think, is very instructive for us. Because he didn't just kind of show up and say, how's it going? Are you okay? you know, I gotta go, I'll call 911 when I get home, you know, like, he wasn't like that. He picked him up, he bandaged his wounds, and not only that, he brought him to an inn, and he said, here's some money, whatever this guy needs, I'll pay more if you need it, I'm gonna take care of him. He saw it through. It wasn't just a, you know, just sort of a brief interaction. He took care of this person's needs all the way until the situation was resolved. Now, we don't always have the opportunity to do that, to be fair. But I think that's the kind of heart of kindness that God calls us to show to others, to those close to us and to those who aren't so close to us. You know, we can't always maybe follow through to the point that the Good Samaritan did, but offering help, offering encouragement, offering our time and our energy and perhaps our finances or our resources is always a good place to start. It's always a great place to start in being kind to others. And sometimes that is maybe just a stranger and a random act of kindness, but maybe there's people in your life who you can be consistently and continually kind towards. And that's the second question I want to ask you. Who should we be kind to? And the short answer is everyone. We should be kind. God calls us to be kind to everyone, just as he is kind to everyone. In fact, Scripture says several times, and when Paul and Peter preach in Acts, they often refer to this idea that God has shown his kindness to the whole world, even those who are against him, by sending the seasons and sending the rain and giving us food to eat and crops and all those types of things. God is kind to everyone. But I believe especially that God calls us to be kind to those closest to us, because they're sometimes the easiest, but also the most difficult to be kind towards. Sometimes it's easy, it's great. You're having a great day, maybe you were out in the sunshine yesterday, you had a barbecue with your family, you're watching your kids play, and everything's great, and you just love them, and you have another hot dog, have another hamburger, let's make dumplings, you know, whatever, and you're having a great time, and it's great. But sometimes it's a little more difficult. In fact, it's almost harder to show kindness to those closest to us than it is maybe to those that we're just acquaintances with at work or at school, that type of thing. Can I give you an example? This is very recent. This morning, speaking of early birds, Pastor Stephen was talking about early birds. This morning, I woke up at about 4:30 in the morning. I just had a hard time sleeping, and there was a choir of crows outside of my house. There was just, and they would not stop. It was just like one would start. He was the leader, you know. And then it would just be like all over the place for an hour. It was crazy. And I was like, oh, this is not fun. And so I eventually got back to sleep. But when I got up, a little tired, a little cranky, I know you only see me in my sunniest, most happiest state, but sometimes I get cranky, just so you know. Become a bit of a freckled hurricane, you know. It was hard, and I hope I still was, but it was difficult. It was a challenge to be kind to my wife, because she got up and she was happy and she had a great sleep and I didn't. Maybe you've been there. A little bit of sleep jealousy, right? It's sometimes hard to be kind to the people closest to us. And yet, those are the people that God has placed in our lives to be the most consistent, to be able to show the most consistently the character of God. I remember reading as I was doing my studies, I think it was Augustine who wrote about this, and he talked about how there's almost a higher calling to show God's love to our families and to the people closest to us, because they see us so much, because we're so close to them. It's a higher calling and a higher opportunity. So I believe that God calls us to show kindness to our families and to those close to us, to our friends as well, to those who we see frequently. And that can sometimes be difficult, and yet that is sometimes where God shapes our character the most, where the waters swirl around in our pool, you know, a lot. But God is shaping our character. And of course, he calls us to be kind to those who aren't so close to us, work acquaintances and the people that annoy us at work, the people that we maybe struggle with in different areas. I remember when I graduated from college, with a 4-year degree in youth leadership, I took that degree and I brought it to Subway and I said, I'm finally qualified to make sandwiches. And I worked at Subway for a year. And it was interesting because I had this experience. There was this guy who would come in and he was just, I don't know how to explain him. He was just kind of an odd person, and he gave the girls in our workplace just a weird feeling. They didn't feel comfortable serving him. And so at first, I was kind of like very short with him. I was very, you know, I didn't want to show kindness. I just kind of wanted to get him out. But as I worked there for a whole year, and he would come in quite frequently, and I was able to be, I feel like God was challenging me in that area. And honestly, I don't have a great story like, wow, he, you know, repented and God filled him with the Spirit in some way or anything like that. I don't know what happened to him, but God really changed my heart to allow me to show kindness to him. And it was kind of cool because his eyes would just light up just a little bit. To be able to have that conversation and just that brief 3-minute interaction. I don't know the impact that had, but I believe that God calls us, even if we don't know the results, to show that kind of kindness, right? To show that kind of kindness. And hopefully, sometimes we have that opportunity to share our faith and to share why we're showing that kindness. But whether we do or not, it's the character of God flowing out of us, flowing out to others. And I'm sure that all of you have in your lives, and maybe there are people quite close and maybe they're not, people that you want to see God change their lives. You want to see them come to know him. You want to see them be set free from the things that are hurting them or holding them back. And again, I want to emphasize that it's not condemnation that's going to bring that, it's kindness. It's showing that character of God, going that extra step, showing the love of Jesus. So just like that swimming hole that we talked about, we become vessels of God's kindness, of God's Spirit, of God's character. And the cool thing about being a vessel is God wants to fill you, and God is filling you, and that's a good thing. God wants to bless you. He wants to show himself to you. He wants to build his character in you. But it doesn't stop there. He wants it to flow out. And I want to talk just in conclusion about two areas where I think the flow of water can become blocked. Just like any swimming area where there's fresh water flowing through, things can get blocked up. If you have pesky beavers in the area, they'll cut down trees and make a dam, you know. But even just through natural situations, you know, we've had a lot of wind here lately. Wind can blow branches and leaves, and they can block up the flow of water in a creek, right? So I want to talk about two ways that I think this can happen to us. One is kind of obvious, one's not so obvious. The first one that's a little more obvious is the flow gets blocked coming out of the pool. So God's kindness is flowing into us, we're filled with him, and yet it's not getting out. And I think this can easily happen. We can easily revert to, you know, our old patterns, right? Maybe some of us have a short fuse, or it's just very easy to be frustrated or short. And it's not that you don't love Jesus. It's not that you don't love the people around you. It's just there's these patterns of behavior that we can sometimes fall into. You know, Paul talks about that in Galatians 5, the works of the flesh. And he says the works of the flesh are obvious. And some of those works of the flesh that he talks about, some are kind of, they're more sexual, and some are more about integrity and things like that. But some are interpersonal, jealousy, slander, fits of rage, all these types of things that can block the flow of God's kindness out of us. So what happens in a pool where the water's not flowing out is it becomes stagnant. The water that's there gets stuck, and it starts to grow algae, and gross things start to swim in it, and everything starts to die, and it just becomes stagnant. And so maybe you're experiencing that where you love the Lord and you have him in your life, and yet you're finding it hard to allow that to flow out. I believe that God is calling you to maybe work on that. Whatever those patterns might be, or those old ways of thinking, those old ways of behaving, that they might be blocking and making you become a little bit stagnant, making you become a little bit unpleasant because of the block of the kindness not coming out of you, that, you know, you're just kind of stuck. And so that's kind of the obvious one. So are you choosing to allow God's kindness and of course, all the fruits of the Spirit to flow out of you? Is God's kindness flowing out of you, or is there something there that's blocking that flow out? And the other thing I want to talk about is a block on the other side of the flow in. Because I think sometimes this can happen, especially for those of us who have been in the church a long time, who've maybe grown up in the church, there can become a bit of a block on the way in. And I'm not talking about losing our salvation or anything like that. But, you know, in Galatians 5 and in Galatians in general, Paul's whole issue in Galatians, Paul's whole issue with this church is that they have traded Jesus Christ for a system of rules. So they have traded the love and the joy and the adventure of following Jesus Christ, of being disciples, for a legal system based on the Old Testament law so that they could earn God's love, they could earn the merit of God apart from Jesus Christ, that if they observed certain days, if they followed certain laws, if they washed their hands 5 times a day before and after every meal, and they brushed their teeth 3 times, you know, that they would earn God's favor. And Paul says, that doesn't work. It's one or the other. If you think that you can just get by obeying the law, good luck, but Jesus isn't in that. He's not in that. And what happens when we start to do this, and I think this can happen, and I know this has happened to me in my life, is that I start to think that I'm a pretty good guy. I've grown up in church. I know what to say. I know what to do. I know all the Christian sayings and how to properly shake a hand and all those things, right? Grown up in church. And it can become easy to make it about a system, about looking good, about following the rules, and yet inside, that flow of God's kindness, the flow of God's character is beginning to dry up because I'm doing it on my own strength. I'm doing it for myself. I'm doing it to try to earn something. It's not very conscious. It's not something that I'm like, I wake up and I'm like, today, God, watch this. I'm going to earn it, you know? I never wake up like that, but yet subtly, slowly, the flow in can begin to trickle a little bit because I know for me, and I think for some of us here, we can begin to shift our dependence from Jesus Christ and his righteousness to our own efforts, and to our own righteousness. And then the pool begins to dry up, and nobody can swim in a shallow, dried up pool, and it's just not very pretty. It, you know, you just might as well go to the ocean because there's nothing in the pool, you know? And so I think that's the other way that it can become blocked, is that when we try to do it ourselves, when we make that subtle shift from depending on Jesus, from being a disciple, from following him, to depending on our own works, our own set of rules. Maybe it comes from the Bible, maybe it comes from our heads, but we have a certain set of rules. We begin to kind of block that flow in our lives, and it kind of slows down to a trickle, and we begin to dry up. And I don't believe that's God's desire for any of us to be dry. I think he wants to fill us, for us to be abundant freshwater swimming pools of his love, letting him flow in, allowing him to flow out, his character, the kindness of God to flow out of us. And so I want to conclude with a couple questions. I'm going to call the band back up, and we want to have an opportunity to pray with you as well. I want to conclude with just a couple of questions. And the first one is just about that idea of blocking the flow. Is there anything in your life, either on the side of pouring out or on the side of receiving from God, is there anything in your life that might be blocking that flow? Have you been trying to do it on your own? Have you been trying to do it yourself? You know, one of the radical things about our faith, and one of the radical things about Galatians, I was reading this in a commentary, is that Paul is really saying, because there were these people who came in and said, yeah, it's Jesus and the law, you need both, you need to follow the law, all this stuff, and Paul is saying, no, the Holy Spirit is sufficient for us to lead holy lives. We really don't depend on our own law-keeping. The Holy Spirit is sufficient. And that's crazy. I haven't even worked that out fully. I don't fully understand that, to be honest, and yet, that's what Paul is saying. That when we try to do it ourselves, we block that flow. But the Holy Spirit is more than enough to make us holy, to make us righteous, to make us look like Jesus Christ. So is there anything blocking that? Have you been trying to do it on your own? Or maybe on the other side where you love God, you really want to show his kindness, and yet something just kind of switches in you when you get into situations. Just something to think about. And maybe we can pray with you about that, or maybe you can talk to a pastor, to me, or to one of our pastors and begin to work on some of those things because God has more for you. And the second question is very simple. How can you show kindness to those around you? Because the cool thing is about this is it's not like we're just kind of passive vessels where it just kind of like, you know, flows through us. That's the flowing noise, in case you're wondering. It's not like we're just like passive vessels. God fills us and we make choices to show it. We choose to let it flow out. And again, it's not about our own efforts or our own righteousness, but we allow that to flow out of us. So how can you show kindness to those around you this week? Why don't you stand with me? We're going to sing a song in closing. I'm going to invite the prayer team to come up. You know, I love this place. I love this church. And let me just say, you are a kind church. I really believe that. I felt it myself. I mean, when I first came here 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, I was so overwhelmed at the kindness that was shown to me, the welcoming heart, the friendliness. And that hasn't stopped. That wasn't just because I was new and I had more freckles than anyone here, you know. That was something that is in the heart of this place, and I love that. So please understand when I share this, it's not like none of you are kind, you need to get this. It's more, you're doing great, but keep it up. And how can we continue to open up that flow? How can we continue to allow that kindness to flow through us? Because I believe that God has more of that for us, and God wants to reach our community out there, not with judgment, not with impatience, but with kindness. God wants to reach our community, wants to reach our friends, wants to reach our family with kindness. So let me pray for you. Prayer team, why don't you come up? And this will be kind of a prayer of dismissal. If you need to go, you're welcome to go. But if you'd like to stay and worship, if you'd like to stay and receive prayer, we'd love to pray with you as well. Anoint you with oil. We can pray for what we've talked about today. We can pray for anything else. If you have needs, we just want to pray for you. But let's just pray right now. Lord, we thank you for your kindness that has been poured out on us. Lord, we thank you for just that ultimate kindness you showed in giving your son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And Lord, we just worship you. We're just so thankful. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to teach us to allow that kindness to flow out. Lord, that we would be just a freshwater stream to a saltwater world, Lord God. That we would bring life where we go. That we would bring joy. That we would bring love, Lord God. And that we would do that through kindness, Lord God, that we would be able to just know how kind you've been to us and to be able to share that in such a deep and a compassionate way, Lord, not just on the surface, but that it would just really come from the heart, Lord. And I pray for us as a church that kindness would continue to be part of our identity, Lord God, that everyone who steps in these doors would notice and would sense the kindness of Jesus Christ flowing through this environment, flowing through these people. So we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for such a beautiful day. I pray for, as we go, that you would just bless this day, bless everyone here and what they're up to today. And we just thank you and we give you praise for your kindness now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you'd like to go, you're welcome to go. If you want to receive prayer, I just want to invite you to come up and do that as well.